Gospel tracts, 100 different ways and reasons to use gospel tracts. We're on 57. Tracts can be handed out at a stadium entrance before sporting events. I think we read those last week. All right, I guess we're on 60. Tracts can be given to attendants at parking garages or toll booths, etc. I've only had a couple ever turned down as you're giving them the money, and I usually need to get a receipt. And as I'm getting a receipt, I say, can I give you something to read on your break? They're a little too busy to be reading it right then, usually. And only, I think, one or two times that I can remember somebody saying no. Most people will take that, and if they have opportunity, sometimes they'll read it right then. Tracts can be left in motel rooms, in the drawers, or in the telephone book. I know some of you are saying, what's a telephone book? And the last one for tonight will be tracts can be included in bills to be paid by mail. I had some of you all raise your hand. I think there's a handful of people that were already doing that. And somebody has to open those bills somewhere and collect the money. And when they do, they might have the best news of their life come right along out with it. And so I encourage you to continue using tracts. We just got 500 Christmas tracts in. And all we have to do is get 500 labels on them now, and they'll be ready to go out in just a couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. All right, Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 9 and 10, but we're really going to be looking at verse 10 tonight. We looked at verse 9 last week. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. I don't know how many of you ever participated in the Boy Scouts. They're certainly not where they used to be, I can promise you that. They used to be a really good organization that would help young men to develop some skills and some talents and some ability and leadership ability. Certainly they have strayed and kind of gone off with the world and all this nonsense and lunacy that's going on. But they used to have a motto. Anybody know what that motto was? Be prepared. Always prepared. Prepared for what? Well, their motto was for anything that might come along the way. Well, tonight I'd like to put this thought in your mind. Be prepared to do good. Be prepared to do good. Read verse 10. The very first part of this I want you to see is in verse 10. It says, as we therefore have opportunity. As we therefore have opportunity. The first thing I want you to see from this passage tonight is that we have a period of time to do good. There is a period of time for us to do good. You know, if you go up to verse 9 and you see where it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due, what? Season. We talked a lot about seasons. We've been talking a lot about the laws of the harvest and all those different things and how that you won't reap in the same season in which you plant. Do you realize that the word season and the word opportunity are the same word? And so there is this thought that there is an opportunity or a season of time that we have as Christians to do good unto others. First of all, we have but one life. And so the season of life is given to us so that we can serve and have this chance to do good to others. Listen, we so often quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I love those verses. I came out of the Roman Catholic Church, and to realize that I was saved by grace and not by works, it was an amazing revelation. And I'm so thankful for that, because we know we could never work ourselves to heaven. We'll never be good enough. We understand that. And boy, we thunder away at salvation by grace through faith, grace through faith. And praise God, we need to thunder that. But I don't know how many times I've used Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 in a message that I never used verse 10. I guarantee just about all of us here tonight that have been walking with the Lord for any amount of time could probably quote verses 8 and 9 out of Ephesians chapter 2. But I think a lot of us would stumble if pressed to quote verse 10. But what does verse 10 say? It says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now listen, I don't believe in predestination of salvation, but I can tell you this, we are preordained to do good works once we are saved. What does that mean? It means that I believe God has a job for us to do. It was His will that we are doing good once we get saved. That was His plan from the very beginning. So we are to do good unto all men. Really, this is one of the ways that we let our light so shine. Isn't that right? When we do good unto others, it's not just by the things that we say. It's not just by our lips, but it's by our life that people can see the light. Now listen, I'm not talking about a lifestyle evangelism, but I'll tell you this, if you live such a life that when you have opportunity to use your lips, you know what's going to carry some force behind it. But if you're living like the world, and if you are never taking opportunity to build a bridge with the person you're trying to witness to, when God finally opens that window or that door of opportunity, what you have to say will have very little impact. What does it mean to do good? Well, before I move on to that, let me just finish this thought of this season of good works. You see, everybody in here is at a season of life. There's rarely two people that are in the exact same season of life, although it happens. And so it would be unrealistic to ask a woman in her 80s to go and watch a rowdy bunch of 2- and 3-year-olds somewhere, okay? They say, listen, that season of life has passed. And they say, hallelujah, amen, sometimes. Somebody that has just gotten married is probably not in a position to mentor a group of men about fathering. Do you understand? They're not in that season of life. They're not in that place to be able to do that kind of good work. And so as we go through our life, we have different seasons of life. And in those different seasons, we have different opportunities then to do good to those people that are in our sphere of influence. But that same good work is not going to be the same all through our life. It's going to change. As we grow, as we mature, as we get experience, we may be able to do different things to help somebody. We're going to talk about some different things in just a little bit, because I don't want to leave here just having some esoteric knowledge that, you know what, I'm going to go out there and do good. And then we leave and we think, I don't know really what that means. So we'll get there in just a second. But I want you to get this idea to start thinking about, what can I do today? If I am saved by grace, and if God has saved me unto good works, what should I be doing? When can I do it? How can I do it? You see, if we just go around waving the banner of salvation by grace through faith, and we lose out on one of the reasons that God has saved us, not just to enjoy Him forever, but that we can do His will here on earth right now. Verse 9 it says, let us not be weary in well doing. In verse 10 it says, let us do good unto all men. You know, they carry the same idea, but they're different words. Verse 9, this is a good that kind of, according to one lexicon, denotes that kind of goodness which is at once seen to be good. But in verse 10, it carries with it the idea of being good in virtue because of its results. Now, this does not say the end justifies the means. But what it is saying is you may not see the results of that immediately. And so as you are doing good, as you are building that bridge, as you are putting plank after plank after plank, there will come a day that you will be able to cross that bridge, and whether that good work, those good works will be a stepping stone then that will give you the ability, or what one author said, our works pave the way for our verbal witness. They win us the right to be heard. But I've seen both extremes in the Christian life. I have seen where somebody is almost wants to isolate themselves from the world, and they really don't want too much contact. They don't want to be dirtied or besmirched by the world, and so they keep such a distance that they have no effective witness. And then I know in the Christian realm there are some that believe in that lifestyle evangelism, and they build that bridge, and I tell you, it's the Golden Gate Bridge, but they're never ready to go over it to witness with their lips. That's the two extremes. Listen, we do these good things, I believe, in order then to win the right to share the gospel. It's doing good to all men. It's been asked, we need to quit asking who is our neighbor and ask the question, to whom can I be a neighbor? So we're not saved by good works, but we are saved to good works. And that's all the difference in the world. Not only is there a period of good works, I believe we ought to be performing these good works. In some real sense, they are a testimony of our salvation. Now, I want to be very, very careful on this, because if you take this to the extreme, you'll end up in the Calvinistic position of the persevering of the saints, which means if you don't have a certain lifestyle, if you're not doing A, B, and C, or D, then you must not be saved. Well, that's just dangerous ground to be on, but there's too many verses that tell us there should be some kind of fruit in our life that is a representation of what God is doing on the inside. If God's doing something on the inside of you, it will eventually make its way out and manifest itself publicly to the world. You know, throughout the book of 1 John, the apostle emphasized this same idea about these false teachers. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 3:7. 1 John 3:7. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now we realize it's not saying that or teaching or preaching sinless perfection, but what it is talking about is a lifestyle or a life manner of consistent sin in their life. But the overarching idea behind that is, if you are abiding with God, if you are close to God, then you will be having some outward testimony of what God is doing in your life. Turn your Bibles back the other way to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Look at verse 16. You shall know them, what? By their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Continues on with that same vein. And so there is a definite principle, I believe, that says when you're saved unto good works. If you have nothing to show for it, it's a time to ask yourself, have I truly repented? Have I truly trusted Christ? Again, it's not about coming to the end of your life and saying, have I done enough? But if you have no desire to do anything good for anyone else in the world except for yourself, there is a definite problem. So, one of the questions I would ask you are, what good works are we supposed to be doing? Now, on Wednesday nights, we're a little more informal around here. I told someone there's probably enough doctors in here to get a hospital going. I don't know. But when we come together on Wednesday night, if we leave out of here with just Bible information, that's not bad. But if we have no application, if we don't know how it applies to our life, then all we've done is accumulated more knowledge. And I tell you, we've got a lot of Christians out there that have a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of life application. And so I like just to bring it down really to very simple ideas on what good things can we do for others. And so I'm going to allow you to think about that for a second. I'll give you one or two, but then I'm going to look around, and if you have an idea, just raise your hand, and you're not mics, but I'll probably just repeat what you say or try to make sure everybody can hear that. But, you know, as I think about good works, I think ultimately the best work we could ever do is to share the gospel. There's no doubt about that. So I've taken number one right off the list. Number one answer is no longer on the board, all right? And so maybe many of you are thinking that. Now, obviously, don't get ahead of me too far. It says, especially to the household of faith, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but understand, whether it's to all men or to the household of faith, either one, I want to see, what do you think constitutes a good work? We see all the time, you're not saved by good works, but you are saved to good works. So what good works are we saved to, Jeremy? All right, certainly we are called to disciple the next generation. That was number two on my list, brother. That was good. Listen, that is one of the things, no matter what season of life you are in, you can mentor someone else. You say, listen, I'm only 20 years old. I don't have a lot of life experience. I'm going to tell you, there's a 7th or 8th grader or a 7 or 8 year old that is looking up and watching everything you are doing, whether you're a young man or a young woman. And for you to come alongside of them and give them some attention and some, I'll tell you, that will speak volumes into their life. I hope you understand that. All right, anybody else have any ideas about what good things we as Christians can do for those? Let's talk primarily right now to those outside of the house of faith. Yes, ma'am. Take a meal to a neighbor that's sick. Excellent. That's excellent. You're going out of your way, Nathaniel? Okay, going to see those that have that's true religion there, brother. That's good. He said, visiting the fatherless and the widows. Anybody else? We're going to do this for just a few minutes. Brother Cobb? Yeah, hey, what can I do? You know, if you go to an elderly neighbor's house, you might just sit there. They might just have you sit down and talk to them for a little while, right? And whether you get around to fixing anything or not, you'll have done a lot of good just sitting there and spending some time with a shut-in. That's excellent. That's excellent. And if you're able to do something on top of that, that's praise the Lord. Anybody else have any ideas? Yes, ma'am. Go to the nursing home. Spend some time with some people that just are not where they used to be. A lot of their friends have passed on before them. Many people in the nursing home feel, whether it's true or not, they feel as though they've been forgotten about. That's excellent. That's excellent. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. All right, praying for them and encouraging them by telling them that you're praying for them. Listen, the honest truth is, there's an endless amount of things, but have you ever really sat down and thought about what are some good things that you can do for somebody? That's really the whole purpose of this part of the message, is just to stop for just a second and say, what can I do in the season of life that I'm in right now? Not lament about what I used to could do and can't do anymore. Not to worry about what I'm going to have to do someday. But what is it that I can do right now to be a ministry to somebody else? To do something good to someone that I can start building a bridge to ultimately share the gospel. And you say, wait a second, that sounds like it's pretty manipulative. No, I'm just saying you are... let me say this. Everything that we mentioned and anything that we will mention as far as good works has one common denominator. It's going to take your time. It's going to take part of your life and pour it into somebody else. So there's going to be a sacrifice. That's what that agape love is. It is sacrificial love. Jeremy? He's saying just even if you're not able to actively do something, just having a testimony is being salt and light. All right? But if we just go through our day, and we have our to-do list, and our greatest concern is getting everything done that I have to get done, I tell you, people will become a nuisance. But I'm going to tell you something. Ministry, whether it's full-time vocation, or whether it's the person at your work, or the person at the grocery store, or your neighbor, ministry, people is ministry. I know that's not grammatically correct. But people are ministry. But if you see them as a nuisance, or as a drain on your time, or a drain on your life, you've missed what God's called you to do in the first place. Well, listen, I'll give them a track. I just want them to go back to their house for a little while. Listen, we all know somebody that is a time vortex in your life. But you know what I've noticed about some of those people? They're some of the most needy people because they don't have anyone else that cares for them. First person to give them just the first little bit of attention they think is their best friend in the world. You know, you can be that person's best friend and encourage them in the things of the Lord. Whether you're holding the door open for somebody or just encouraging, I wrote down about 100 different things. Not really, about 50 different things. We're not going to go through all of them, don't worry. But if you just sit down and think about it for just a little while, you might find yourself being a little less self-focused, a little more others-focused. And when that happens, I believe you're fulfilling what God has saved you for. Good works. Ultimately, to share Christ with others. But what about, not only do we have the period of good works, or the period of time in the performing of good works, I want to see the priority of doing good, especially to the household of faith. Verse 10, at the very end, it says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This really, really goes together with the message that I preached Sunday night. I know many of you were not here, but we talked about the community that we have as a local church, as a local New Testament church. We are a community. We're a household of faith. Paul has said it before that we are a body, all right? So let me tell you, first of all, what this is not saying. This is not saying that we need to be isolationists, that the only people now that we are going to help are those that are sitting in these pews from week to week. That's not what it's saying. But what it is saying is, I think that you need to be sensitive or extra sensitive to those that are in the pews. Do you understand? It's not an exclusionary thing where it says we're not going to help anybody outside. As a matter of fact, Paul makes sure we know this when he says, to all men. He says, but you ought to be sensitive, especially to those that are in the pew, sitting down the pew from you. I think one of the reasons that is because in a family setting, you have much more intimate knowledge of what's going on in that person's life. I may not know when my neighbor's having surgery, but even as a church member, you have a good idea of when somebody's going to have a surgery. So I may not be able to get a meal together for my neighbor if I have no idea that they're going through a trial, if I've not seen them for a couple of weeks. But you know, if you notice somebody not at church, you might ask somebody, or there might be cause for you to realize, oh, you know what, this person's going through a difficult time, let me do this for them. Or maybe I'm going to go watch their kids for a little bit. Or maybe I'm going to, whatever that good deed that you could do for them. And so the good works is not just to share the gospel, ultimately. It could be just to edify and build up the local church. Isn't that an interesting concept? That God would say that we are saved unto good works, and there is a period of time, a season, that we have to do these good works. And while that season may change and the good works may change, there's always an opportunity for us when we have our eyes open. And if we are sensitive then to those things that are going on around us, we'll be able then to exercise that in the local church context. So he says, Don't be weary. Don't lose your heart in verse 9 in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. But he says in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Boy, it'd be easy just to stop right there. I don't ask you this question. What good are you to others around you? What are you doing good in the life of somebody else? Whether it's outside or inside the household of faith, God has called each and every one of us, not just the pastor, not just the deacons, not just the preachers, not just the college students. He's called each and every one of us. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Called every one of us to do good, not to earn our salvation, but to let our light shine, to let others see God through us. And whether that's here or out there, we need to be busy doing our Father's business. And so I ask you tonight to be introspective, to ask yourself that question. Am I doing good? Am I doing what God's called me to do? If not, I would take some time this week to meditate on some of those things that we talked about and maybe ask the Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to do? And who do you want me to do that for? I believe that He's just wise enough to know where and what and whom He wants you to minister to. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for this book of Galatians. Lord, as we really are in this practical sense thinking about being saved unto good works, to be doing good unto others, Father, I pray that you would help us to be introspective, to help us to think about really who we're serving with our lives. Lord, I know if we're serving you, we'll be serving others. But if we're serving ourselves, we'll look for others to be serving us. So I pray you would help us to have a servant's heart tonight and to take that season that we have to be a blessing to others.